Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Sug Talks. I'm Craig Dale, your host, and together with our special guests, we'll take a deep dive into the challenges, topics, and opportunities facing SAP users today. Please make sure you hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode. I'm delighted today to be joined by the leaders of our Women in SAP community. So welcome to Emma Chambers, UKI SUG Director and Co-Chair of both the Women in SAP and S4HANA communities, and Fiona Warburg, Solution Architecture Practice Manager, Enterprise Architecture and Design at the Co-op, and Co-Chair of our Women in SAP community. So welcome to you both.
Hi Craig, great to be here.
And in today's episode, we're going to be discussing how the Women in SAP community has evolved over the past 6 months or so and the future plans for 2024. Just before we get into that conversation, I thought I'd ask if you could make an official rule that everybody had to follow for the day in the office. What would it be? So just while you're thinking about that, kind of just cast my mind around that myself, and I think what I'd say is, right, you have to say yes more and with a smile. So if you're asked something or asked to do something, let's just see what happens if we say yes more and we smile while we're doing it. So Fiona,
do you know, it's funny you say, I was actually, I thought smile is, I think, that and laughter more. Yeah, I do crack a joke. Even if it's terrible, crack a joke on a meeting. That would be mine.
I'd agree with that. I think that's a really good idea. We're onto something here. And we, you know, yeah, definitely. I would say dad jokes, but let's be inclusive. Mum and dad jokes from everybody. We should start the day with a nice inclusive joke.
Oh, thank you. So, we caught up last time in September, which probably seems about 5 minutes away, to be brutally honest. But so
it really does.
It'd be great to just get things started if we can. Hearing about some of the activities that has been you've done in the Women in SAP community since our last conversation. So, Emma.
Yeah, so we spoke in September, didn't we? So I think what we were about to do in September, we had a fantastic session, actually, hosted by Shoe Smiths and facilitated by Vivian Bocker from SAP, which was a really fantastic session. And it was around building confidence, crushing imposter syndrome, targeted at women to help build their confidence. And of course, being in September and leading up to Connect, we really wanted to see if that would help to embolden people, women particularly, to put their name forward for speaking at Connect, and see if we could get more female speakers in that profile for our conference. So that was a really fantastic session. And we could talk a bit about the stats later to see, you know, what impact that and other sessions had. And then, of course, we went into Connect, which, as you say, doesn't even seem that long ago now, and that was we had a dedicated stream at Connect again. So we had three sessions at the conference that were dedicated to women in SAP as part of our ICE initiative.
And on top of that, we also, Emma, actually you presented at Transformation Now, didn't you, in between?
I did as well. Yeah, we had a we joined up with a couple of other sessions with other women's networks. Of course, we had the conference, Transformation Now, which is NTT Data's conference, and we had a Women in SAP panel discussion on that at that event as well. So, yeah, that was in November.
And the other thing is, just the time Emma and I put into actually planning what's coming up. So, again, we won't go into too much detail right now, but, yeah, that's what we've also been working hard at in the background.
Oh, fantastic. So quite a lot happening in quite a short time, really. So just reflecting back on Connect, if I may, obviously you both attended Connect, and we had a community and environment stream, of which the Women in SAP had some dedicated sessions within. And what perhaps were some of your takeaways from the event from that perspective?
I think, for me, one of the things I took away was actually how I guess inspiring it was though to have some of the younger generation there, and I think Craig, you and the team had actually put some efforts into encouraging people from universities to come along, and even some of the people we had presenting, younger. It's hard. I don't want to admit to my age anymore, but you sort of see these people getting up, and you're like, oh my goodness, and full of life, full of I guess no barriers for them. As they see it at that point, that was something for me.
Yeah, and I think in terms of those barriers, and it's a topic that we come back to and revisit at all of our events really, and all of our sessions. Representation is still quite low for women, and this was something that we noticed again at the conference. We do have some good news in the stats. So in 2022, 18% of our speakers were female, and 22% of attendees were female. In 2023, that number had increased to 26% for both. Actually, 26% of our attendees were female, and 26 of our speakers, 26%. So, it's good because it's improving. You could say, well, that's the percentage of women in the tech workforce. It tends to be around 24 to 26%. So, you could say, well, we're reflecting what's going on in the wider tech force. But of course, what we want to do is increase that. We need a representation to get those numbers even better. We don't really want to just say, well, we're reflecting a wider workforce as if that's good enough, because we know the tech sector is woefully behind in terms of parity for women. So in terms of getting that to change, we really want to encourage more women to speak. The more representation we can get, the more we'll be encouraged to join the industry and to see that there's a space for them in roles in tech. So we've still got lots of work to do, I think. It's encouraging that we did see that increase, but we still really want to get those numbers higher. It's important in the tech sector because the gender pay gap in the UK tech sector is still at 26%, and that's worse than the UK gender pay gap across all sectors in the UK. So the tech industry really is lagging behind, and it's lagging behind Europe significantly, where the gender pay gap is 19%.
I don't know whether this is because one of the things we've talked about, myself and Emma, about pathways to senior roles, but one of the things that was missing, Craig, was I had noticed there was no, on the Monday, female key speakers, so the morning session. I don't know whether that's something we're just not seeing enough females in senior roles, where we can't get people to get up and stand on for keynotes. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's certainly challenging. I mean, just if I may come back to that in a very short moment, just to reflect back on what you were saying there, Emma, as well. So we're going in the right direction, but we want to do more.
Yes,
I think that's a key
absolutely.
thing. We want to break through that glass ceiling, if you like, of 26% and go further. So I think that's a key task that we put before ourselves. So thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, from the keynote perspective, we split the keynotes into three key areas where we have obviously the chair of UKISOG, we have the managing director of SAP, and then we have a customer keynote. Now, two out of three of those is dependent upon who that person is. It's a third one that, we really try to look at, say, okay, how can we do this? And I'll be brutally honest, hand on heart, I did try. I worked with SAP to try and identify customers, especially with senior female leaders who were doing transformation projects, to try and get them to speak. I had two different conversations, and unfortunately, they didn't come to fruition. They didn't feel they were in the right place to do it. And obviously, we were delighted to have AstraZeneca, who had been talking through the year anyway, from following their session at Sapphire, to come along and do that. It's certainly something we're looking to do. And I suppose on the plus side, the keynotes on the Tuesday were 100% female, with Cheryl and Fatima. But yes, I completely agree. We want to see more diversity up there on the main stage, and it is something that we are actively working on. So I'll take that as my scorecard marked as must do better. So, just thinking about the stream, and one of the key focuses I think you had there, or the sessions around allyship and amplifying the female voice, if you like, connected. Is that something that you'll be continuing to look at this year?
Yeah, we that was a really interesting session. I mean, allyship is, again, is something that we come back to time and time again. And we had a fantastic session that was supported by our colleagues from Microsoft and some really sort of very honest, candid conversation about their experiences of allyship and really sort of talking about how we need to acknowledge our own blind spots. So some really key takeaways, I think. And really, we talked a lot about how allyship is a continuous, intentional practice that you kind of have to show up for every day. It's not just a one-off action. So yeah, we certainly want to look at it in that vein. We want to look at it throughout the year. But I think, you know, there were some really key messages from our colleagues there at Microsoft about acknowledging your own biases, which is really important, using your privilege to not necessarily to speak for someone, but to amplify their or to act for someone, but to amplify their voice and allow them space to speak. But having said that, it is, you know, it is intentional and it may need practical action. It's definitely not just passive support that's needed. But yeah, I think there were some really important points in there about we often don't, there's a famous saying, isn't there, that privilege is invisible to those that have it. And that's not just in case of men and women, you know, it can be, women can be in a position of privilege as well. So, you know, there's, it's whenever you are sort of with the cohort that's dominant, that's got strength, that's got privilege, and others are marginalized, and it's recognizing when you're in that position and then being able to create space for somebody else to grow. So I think it was a really, really fantastic session, and as I say, well supported by our colleagues at Microsoft. And what we'd like to do this year is do a dedicated session on allyship, which we would like to run for our male allies. Because what happens at Connect is obviously mostly women gravitate towards the women in SAP sessions, and we really want to try and do a session that is dedicated and focused on male allies so that they can come to that and sort of, you know, explore their own biases, perhaps think about what might be a good practice, how they can contribute and support women in the workplace.
And it links in. So my last role actually had people coming up to me, male allies, saying, "Well, I want to get involved. I want to do more, but I don't know how to do it." And I say, I think those sessions link in with that.
Sorry, I was just going to say education is really key, and it's kind of related to the other session that we had with Capgemini on the Tuesday, which was about inclusive leadership. And so, looking at inclusion, you always have to look at exclusion. And there was quite a lot of sort of, you know, unpicking what's exclusive language, what's exclusive behaviours. They pervade the workplace, and they can also crop up in events like our conference. So we kind of need to be educating ourselves and learning all the time about what are the things we may not even be thinking about that include people, underrepresented and marginalised people, and what are the things that have the potential to exclude. And I think the key thing is it's really just about continually being open, being curious, being open to learning, and it is a continual learning journey really for everyone.
Thank you. And just reflecting back on what you were talking about there, allyship especially, and you talk about inclusivity, and it's just quite a point that we possibly don't stress enough, but we need to continue that. It's a completely open community. Okay, it is called Women in SAP, but it's not just for women. You know, we have men that attend, and that allyship is a key potential, and I like the idea of that, and we'll certainly keep a close eye on that. I think that's a really great idea. And so, while we're talking about that, looking forward to 2024, we've got Women's History Month, which has just
Yeah,
begun.
so
So,
hopefully at the
what are
time
our
of
plans for
recording,
this year?
this will be going out as people are hopefully signed up and registered to some fantastic and exciting events that we've been planning. We wanted to focus on some collaborations. So we're doing a collaborative in-person event with a group called Founders Social, which brings together female investors and female founders. And so we're going to bring together the power of their network and our network, and we're going to have an in-person event that is really a celebration of mentorship. We keep talking about mentorship and how vital it is. It really is an essential tool, I think, for a lot of women to overcome the missing rung that Fiona talked about. So we want to have a celebration of mentorship and also have people who have been mentors and who have been mentees to talk about the experience that they have of it, what impact it's had on their career. And hopefully people can maybe even go away from that networking event having created a mentorship connection and relationship. So that would be really exciting, I think. We've got a book cafe that is going to be an online, a number of online events, because it makes it easier for people to not have to travel to lots of in-person events. So we've got an online book cafe that will be looking at a book that celebrates the historical contribution of a woman. And we have our mentorship session, of course, that we run monthly.
Oh, thanks for that, Emma.
We know our community, but we don't know yours yet. Why not share the benefits of your UKI sub membership with those who don't know about us? The UKI sub referral scheme rewards you for helping to grow and develop our community. You can check out the link in the description to find out more about how you can get involved. Terms and conditions apply. We hope you enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Just while we're reflecting on this, especially those mentor sessions, how can people take part in them, whether they would like to be a mentor or a mentee?
Well, definitely just reaching out either to the user group contacts, you can access via the user group website, or myself and Emma directly. Always open to people wanting to get involved. A good way for me is message me via LinkedIn, my profile on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Thank you. So www.sapusers.org. If you're not aware of the user group website, there is a online chat functionality there as well if you just want to chat with one of the team. So if you are interested, please do reach out. And just on that, we were talking about technology and the technical sector, the tech sector, if you like. And so I understand you're also looking to tackle the impact of technology on women's lives this year. Mm. And could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so this is really going to be the focus of our event in May. There's really so much that we need to look at. I think, you know, we've kind of got a new frontier for gender imbalance with generative AI. So we know that AI can be a wonderful force for good in our social, our private, our personal, our professional lives. And we're all looking forward to the innovations that we'll see that will help us to be more efficient and that will, you know, help us to automate a lot of our processes and all that kind of wonderful stuff. But there's also a really worrying trend, of course, that there is the potential for people who are underrepresented in the data already to have that bias perpetuated. So we know that in the data that we've collected already, there is a bias towards male experience as default, probably more specifically white first world Western male as default. So there's a real risk for that bias to be perpetuated when AI is sort of amplifying that. So what we know is that if you start with a society that's already equitable and fair and just, when you start automating and using AI, it can amplify that. So, you know, because we know that our society isn't already equitable and fair and just, we can see a lot of that inequality perpetuated and potentially perpetuated at a rate of multiple times per nanosecond because of the power of generative AI. So we really want to look into that in our main event in May. So we've got a panel of people together who will look at what is kind of coming, because we know that AI is moving at a pace that is far faster than we can put safeguards in place for. You know, it's just moving so exponentially quickly. But also there's a risk for perpetuation of things like gender-based violence online, deepfake AIs, as we've seen fairly recently with the Taylor Swift example, that 96% of the subjects of deepfakes are actually women. And usually it's pornographic, non-consensual content. And on the top four websites that are dedicated to hosting deepfake material, 100% of the subjects of that content are women. So, you know, there's a lot of worrying development, stuff that we really need to look at. We don't want to just go into this event saying, oh, it's just going to be so dreadful for women. We want to really look at what are the safeguards we can start to put in place, what are the interventions that we can start to make, what are the responsibilities that we have in organizations where we work with AI and in our social and professional lives as well that can help to address these challenges, really.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it, that, you know, whenever new opportunities arise, there's also risks associated with them, and understanding and managing those risks is quite crucial. I suppose from an AI perspective, when you look at what you know, not wanting to turn this to an SAP conversation as such, but what SAP is doing with the business AI and just taking their data, if you like, from their systems, it's almost that enclosed environment and is a safe environment. And a conversation I was having recently around digital twins and the requirement of not just wholly relying on the technology and having that human element to be able to filter and add a bit of perhaps common sense into that of what's correct and what's not, and trying to hopefully take that bias out, that, like you're saying, that societal bias that's already out there, feeding into AI and then amplifying it. You still need that human element and that human interaction, if you like, to tone that down and to manage that.
Yeah, one key area that Fiona and I were discussing recently is in recruitment. And of course, a lot of us use SAP systems for our recruitment. And one of the key innovations that we've all seen, and we saw it at Sapphire last year, is the ability for AI to sort of streamline the recruitment process by filtering CVs and coming up with interview questions, etc. But of course, we know that already there is a risk that there's bias built into that. And Fiona and I, we were discussing a case just today, weren't we? With Amazon, where their early bot that they used for recruitment was demonstrated to have a male bias because it was using the data that had been dominated by male applicants and candidates for so long.
Yeah, quite interesting. You will always need human interaction.
But I mean, it's scary how much is out there. I'll be honest, I'm learning stuff from the bits that we're doing under this, the Women in SAP stream, because I'm just like, I didn't even know half of it was out there. So some of what we're doing is then making sure that others are aware so that you could, like you say, put the safeguards in place. But
Yeah.
There's a bit of a trend, I think, for people to say, right, this will sort the problems out for you because a robot can't be biased like a human could be biased. I know you're talking about human intervention, Craig, but you've got to then deal with the subconscious bias that humans have built in. But of course, the robots are learning from the humans, so they will quite easily perpetuate that bias, conscious and unconscious, in fact. So, yeah, there are real risks around it.
Should be a fascinating conversation in May.
Yes.
It's going to be. It's actually going to be really, really fascinating. And I would encourage people to look out for it when it's advertised and sign up, because it is going to be, I think it's a really crucial conversation. We're not going to, you know, solve a lot of problems, but we're going to certainly get the debate going and hopefully come away with some tactics that we can start to use. I think a lot of it is about engaging with AI, because we know that the machines learn from being used. They're going to learn from the, you know, the algorithms, and if they are predominantly, you know, being created and used by the same people, the same demographic, then we're not going to see a change. So one thing we will do, hopefully, by opening up the conversation, is really encourage people, women and other marginalized groups, to get engaged and involved in it.
Thank you. And just switching slightly and still focusing on what's coming up this year, I understand you also have some regional events planned?
Yeah, and we've actually got one coming up. I don't live there anymore, in my hometown of Hitchin. So that's Dawn Macabre are running a half-day workshop for us. So we've decided that actually going out and about, I think we've got one later. Is it Manchester we're aiming for later in the year?
Yeah, somewhere up north.
Just means people don't always have to take the full day out if they're not local to London, if we're running it in London. Yeah. And I'd say get to know some of their local network. Find other women locally.
Oh, fantastic. And whilst we're talking about local networks, and obviously you mentioned the collaborations you're looking to do, so how do you plan to, I suppose, harness those other networks to reach more people this year?
Well, I think for me, one thing that's been quite an eye-opener as a changed jobs, I think it was literally just before our last podcast, but suddenly working for a larger organisation, suddenly there are all these networks and organisations you can actually find are out there. So part of what I'm taking on this year is to get hold of people that work in those or aligned with those networks and organisations and see what's possible. You know, these are people that there's STEMET, there's one that the co-op particularly invests in, it's called Innovator, which is all to do with, again, youth and bringing through, I mean, I suppose it's young girls and trying to get them into technical subjects, fostering that. And then another one is, yeah, just where we've got so many networks that are trying to do good stuff like we are within the women's area, surely getting together, as we do with the SAB user group. Let's use that and get everybody together and amplify our voices.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think this example that we're doing, the event that we're doing in March is a great example where you can bring together two networks who are, you know, very different industries, but they have a similar aim. So, you know, a lot of the challenges that we face will be the same. A lot of the barriers that we face will be the same. And there are lessons to learn and so much strength, I think, in building your network and just widening it out. Something we talked about yesterday when we had the Women in SAP mentorship session for this month. And we talked about how you don't necessarily even need to find a mentor from your own organization or your own industry. Sometimes a different perspective can be really helpful. So just by widening those networks, exposing, you know, your own community to lots more people, there is strength in numbers. So I think that's a really good example. We'll do some more join up with the Women in ERP podcast as well. And I think, as Fiona said, there's so many different groups out there that all bring learning and experience and education and give you access to lots more stories, lots more role models. So there is huge strength in numbers, as we know. That's, you know, as Fiona says, that's what the user group is all about, is coming together and really harnessing the collective power of those different networks. So we're excited to do a lot more of that during the year.
Oh, fantastic. And just going back to one of the bits that you mentioned there around, obviously, the younger generation and bringing younger talent into the community. So we have our Futures membership that we work with universities on to bring their students. And there'll be nothing to stop us bringing that together with the Women in SAP community as well to collaborate together through the year as well. So we'll certainly look to push that. So thank you for that. And, you know, exciting plans for this year. And I suppose really getting down to it now, you know, as we come towards the end of our discussion as such, could you let the listeners know why they should get involved? You know, pick out the key bits. We've talked a lot about that today, but why should they get involved with the Women in SAP community, and how can they get involved?
Well, one of the whys for me, and it is a very personal one, is so I probably haven't heard, Craig, it was you that sort of invited me into this space. And initially it was I've not experienced, or I don't think I've experienced issues. And then you start talking, and it's I can help other people. You know, I can bring information that others will find useful, or get them in contact with people that will step them up. And, you know, I have actually taken something from this personally. So to me, it's come in with an open mind. It doesn't matter. Your experience is what matters for us. And the more and the wider experience, the more we learn and the more we can give back to our members.
Thank you, Emma.
For me, I mean, I'd love it if this community didn't have to exist. But, you know, we do know that we've got a challenge in front of us. We know we've got a problem. We know we've got a problem with underrepresentation, and we've talked about particularly in the tech industry. And I think one of the really important things as to why people should care is that it's not just for the women. You know, we know that organizations perform better financially. They attract better talent. They produce solutions that are more inclusive and more diverse, and therefore are going to appeal to more people if they have diverse, inclusive workforce and leadership. And leadership is really important. And we're so far away from that for a lot of our organisations and a lot of organisations across the tech industry particularly. So we have to do the work. So I would say that this is why we need to join. This is a brilliant community to be part of, because not only does it relate to all those challenges, but it relates to the field that you're working in as well, if you're a UK ISUG member or a partner or working in SAP. So I would say, why not? Why wouldn't you?
Thank you. And how should people get involved? Is it the same as what we talked about earlier? Website, reaching out perhaps to either of you on LinkedIn?
Yeah, happy for anyone to reach out on LinkedIn. And we do have a dedicated Women in SAP page on the UK ISUG website as well.
And so there are a number always of looking for mentors and people to help. Yeah, me and Emma, we do this as a volunteer as part of our day jobs. So anybody that's looking to come and help feed in ideas, build this community, please reach out.
Thank you very much. So, Emma, Fiona, thank you very much for your time, and thank you for your commitment and dedication to this. And as you say, you know, purely voluntary on top of your day jobs. And, you know, thank you very much for that. And thanks for driving this community forward. And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and found it valuable. Please make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of our future episodes. And don't forget www.sapusers.org, where you can find all the information and the dedicated information on the Women in SAP community. So, until the next time, stay safe, stay well, and keep smiling.